on Daniel, but then in light of what I see going on, I thought I just felt impressed to preach on the subject of fear. But so if we come to breakfast next, or if you don't, I'm going to give you one of my theories. You don't have to buy into this if you don't want to. But in the end days, there will be a one-world government. This may not do it, but what a perfect scenario to set up a one-world government. There's fear all over the world, and if we could just get one leader and one government to control everything, it'd be great. Also, population control. Some of you were here a few months ago when I taught a few lessons on the crazy group out in California, PETA, and they want, you know, the earth would be better off if there were no humans on it, but animals would be okay. They really believe that. Some of the stuff they say it is out in left field. We got some pretty bad liberals here, but they got some real winners out there. I'm going to tell you, they're just as bad as we are. But anyway, they kind of believe in that too. But so the New World Order wants to bring the population down. And they have different numbers. But I would tell you they would love to kill several millions of people in the world to bring it down. I don't know how much some of you pay attention to what's going on. In Canada, they are voting and pushing very strongly to euthanize people. So when I first got saved and I started hearing preachers talk about some of this stuff, and I just got just enough interest to do some research. I'm not a prophecy fanatic, I'll have to admit. But when you start hearing and reading things about what they want, is they want to keep only the elite people alive. For instance, like a guy like me. I was born with several birth defects. I had a heart birth defect, a mental birth defect, I guess, too, but whatever. A few other things. I'm blind in one eye. I was born with a blind eye. I'm born with a heart defect. So maybe people like him should not reproduce. And so we don't want them to have any babies because they're not the kind of people physically that we want on the earth. All of that stuff is all part of the New World Order. And they really do believe in population control. And this is... I think there's some connection there. You think that's a conspiracy theory? Well, there's a little there. I got that on. Okay. But I do think that, and I think it was planted, and I think it was strengthened. If it wasn't, because it's not the first coronavirus that's ever been around, but I do think they've enhanced it. And but beyond all of that, so I see it as exciting days. I see it as, we are getting closer and closer and closer to the return of Jesus. That's how I see it. And, some people might see it differently, but like, man, this is kind of awesome to see what might happen. But I'll tell you something else you're seeing a little bit of, and it's kind of irritating. Char touched on it this morning. Last Sunday night, I gave a lesson on some of the biggest problems, what's happened in our country through the education system. But I also went back when they founded and put our Constitution together and why they had to have three branches of government. And you remember what led them to that was the one doctrine of the depravity of man or the sinfulness of man. So they had to divide the powers. Jeremiah 17:9 was the verse of scripture that John Adams said, this is why we have to have a separation of the powers, because man's hearts are evil. Well, do you watch the stores? I mean, people are evil. I read an article this morning early. I got up real early this morning. And this guy has 17,000 and some bottles of hand sanitizer. But now he can't sell them. It's what I said. Good. I hope he has to use them all himself. Because his plan was to rip you off. Buy these. Now, you can't go get them. Hospitals can't get masks and hand sanitizers that they need because another guy, but he has made a ton of, he's already made over $100,000 since they started this coronavirus thing. He bought, was it water bottles? water. And now he is just selling it. Might have, no, it wasn't. It was these things. Hand wipes. You know, the Lysol wipes is what he bought. He bought truckloads of them. They go around from store to store to store. They buy them up. And now they're hustling. They're ripping people off. Jacking the price right on up. And you know what? That's just wrong. Man, that bugs me. But it shows the evilness of man's heart. What can I do to make a buck, even though people are kind of scared and kind of panicky, and they're full of fear, but I decided that I need to make some money? And that is the depravity of, that's how low people will go. We're supposed to love God, and we're supposed to love others, and people want to do stuff like this. So I think it's exciting days. Wait till the Holy Spirit's gone. Wait till the church is taken off of this earth. You want to see chaos? Whew. You're seeing some of it now. Wait till that happens. Then it's going to be only he who will now not will letteth until he be taken out of the way. And once he's taken out of the way, man, I'm going to tell you what. I'll say it literally. Holy hell will break out on this earth then. I mean, it really will. It's going to be something. Let me direct your attention here to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In just three verses, I'm going to read verse 7, 8, and 9. And it says this, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the whole world is in the spirit of fear. But it didn't come from God. So a spirit of fear, if it doesn't come from God, where do you suppose it might come from? It comes from the devil. But here's what God's given us. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, Father, I pray today that for those that will assemble here, that if there's fear in people, I'm preaching it now because of what we face, but the fact of the matter is, and the truth is, people have fear all the time. They fear the future. They fear the unknown. They just fear. But that is not of you. The Word of God is very clear. You do not give us a spirit of fear. So I pray that you would help people to deal with that this morning, at this service and at the next. They would learn to trust you and lean on you, because you are still sovereignly in control of everything that happens in the world, that happens to us as a church, and that happens to us as an individual. We are in your hands. And for that, we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, verse 7 said, God does not give us a spirit of fear. He gives a spirit of three other things that were mentioned there. Power, love, and a sound mind. As you read your Bible, you will read people who had fear. And some of these people, you would think, wouldn't have been people that would have had fear. People fear different things. I trust you will be able to identify, when I'm done this morning, some of the fears you might have in your life, and that you might be able to get victory over them, because the fact is, God wants you to have victory over fear. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it how? More abundantly. But fear does not allow you to live an abundant life. So let me just mention, five or six biblical examples of fear. The first one I think of is what others say or do to you. And remember Jacob? And he feared his brother Saul? Saul. Jacob, and he feared his brother Esau? Why? Well, maybe he had a good reason to fear Esau, by the way. He had swindled him out of his birthright, and I won't go into that, but that was really, Esau gave up an awful lot for a bowl of soup. But anyway, when Jacob was going to go see him, he feared what Esau might do to him. And some people have that same fear of what somebody might say about them or say to them or say do to them. So that's the first one. The second one is something tragic will occur to you. Saul feared, King Saul, he feared people's reaction. Sometimes tragedy does occur in our lives, but we can't fear it. You know why there's so much counseling going on in the world today with psychologists and psychiatrists and all that? Because people have a lot of fear about some kind of a tragedy, and they just don't know how to deal with it. Some people fear death. I know people that fear death. I have a relative that when somebody in our family dies and he's supposed to go to the calling hours, he's as white as a piece of paper sitting here. I mean, it just fears death. But I will tell you something. He doesn't know the Lord. That's the problem with most of the world right now with all the fear they're in. It's because they don't know the Lord. There's a guy that I met at the summit. His name is Rev. Do you know him? Man, he's a preacher. He's an older gentleman. But he texts me every Saturday with some kind of just something biblical. And he texts me a verse of scripture on fear. And so I texted him back a little bit last night on something. But you know what the problem is? And I texted him back, they don't know the Lord. If you know the Lord, you ought not to be a fearful person. But some people fear death, especially lost people. Then some fear what might happen in the future or some kind of a disaster. Like right now, there's some bad things obviously going around in the world. But some people have a fear of failure. So if you never attempt anything, you'll never fail. Right? So what happens is this. When people have a fear of failure, they really don't get anything done. Because they're afraid they might fail. We all fail. Everybody fails. Don't worry about it. Sixthly, some people fear the loss of money, their possessions, their job. Back in 1929, when the Great Depression hit, which I suppose you could probably see that after this is all said and done again. I don't know that to be true or not. But I'm laying up treasures in heaven. I wouldn't have to worry about it if I lose my retirement. Oh, well. But some people fear loss of money. And in the Great Depression, people were committing suicide. The pictures that you see of guys jumping over out of building windows, that all happened. And you can read the history about that and the historical account of that, and you'll see that it happened. Fear, 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 fear. What does fear lead to? You don't want these in your life, but it does lead to these things. You can take your Bible to Isaiah. Go to Mark, well, then we'll make our way back to Isaiah. I have an absolute ton of references. I don't know that I have time to get to them all, so I won't. But turn to Mark chapter 4. If you have unresolved fear in your life, there'll be consequences. I'm going to mention the consequences, but let me read a short passage here as well. Verse 35. The same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. The storm didn't seem to bother Jesus. He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? What was their problem?
A lack of faith.
And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So the consequences of fear, first of all, causes anxiety. Man, they're in the middle of this storm, and they're all kinds of anxious. And they're like, Jesus is down in the bottom of the ship. He's sleeping. But fear causes anxiety. And then it can cause a person to not be able to even love properly because they're consumed with fear. And then thirdly, it causes physical ailments. If you read over there in Luke chapter 21 and verse 26, you'll find that some people get, and you'll find this with other illustrations in the Bible, Elijah and all that stuff. But anyway, it causes stress. What about this? What about that? Why do people have to fill their shopping carts up like this with toilet paper? I mean, my goodness. I knew I should have took stock in toilet paper. I'd be doing good right about now. But what are they going to do, light fires with all this toilet paper? I mean, good night. I happened to be going through the beach the other day, so I stopped. And there's a little store down there, and they were, well, I didn't know that the stores were running out of stuff until I started seeing pictures. It kind of surprised me. I'm not up to, I don't go to Walmart if I can avoid, so I try to avoid that place like the plague, all right? So anyway, shopping cart, this guy, heaped right full of toilet paper. And I thought to myself, my goodness. And guys, people are buying things they don't even need. You talk about the stress they're under. Did you know stress, and I'm not a doctor, but I've read enough on it, and you probably have as well. You know stress causes a lot of problems in people's lives. But it just does. But it caused, that fear causes that. It can cause a person to be trapped or snared, according to Proverbs 29:25. It can cause a person to anticipate evil, which it does quite often. I know what's going to happen. I mean, I've seen guys walk around, oh, well, that's going to happen. I mean, good night, get over it. Is God in control or not? And if he is, you don't need to fear. But it causes people to anticipate the evil that's going to come. And you know what? Normally it doesn't come. And fear leads to disobedience because you're so fearful. Now, there is another passage I do want you to turn to. And that's in Isaiah chapter 41. And some of the kids in the co-op, although we did cancel our co-op because every other school's canceled. I was a little surprised. That one took me by surprise. They canceled all those schools already. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The kids are memorizing these verses, this passage of scripture, even before all this stuff is going on. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thee, hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, the Bible focuses on the solution for fear. Okay? Now, I want you to notice something. I want to bring this up first. So let's say you're a person that has fear. I'm going to give you a prescription for fear. And I'm going to call it, because I like this phrase, I've used it before, and I've tried to stick with certain things that I've used before. You need to build towers of truth in your life. So no matter what the deal is, you find a biblical tower of truth that you build, and you use it to fight the enemy. So let's say, here's an example of it before we get back to this one. Let's say you struggle with alcohol. So how do you build a tower of truth? Well, where do you find truth? The Bible, okay, the Word of God. So you go to the Bible, and you find truth in the Bible, and you get yourself some 3x5 cards or whatever. I guess today you would say put it on your phone, but because that's always with you. Anyway, you can't live without it. So you write that in there on a 3x5 card or put it in your phone or whatever works for you, and you verse after verse after verse after verse that you got out of the Bible that says this is what the Bible says about alcohol, and that's a tower of truth. And every time you're tempted with that, you know what you do? You turn to that prescription, you turn to that tower of truth, and you know what? God, the Holy Spirit of God uses that and helps you to get victory. And I don't care what the area in your life is, you build a tower of truth, and the tower of truth is built from the Word of God. So we need to build these particular towers. Now, let me give you one on fear. To those who fear, God made several promises here. First of all, in verse 10, he promised his presence. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, before you can have his presence, obviously a person has to be saved. They have to know Jesus as their Savior. That's what brings his presence through the Holy Spirit of God into our life. But the first thing he promised you is this, his presence. People go through tragedies in life. Somebody asked, we got talking this morning about this. I don't know exactly what year the Spanish flu was. It was the early 1900s, I think. 670,000 Americans died during that. Now that's a tragedy. Okay, we're not even at a drop in a bucket of that yet. And in our lifetime, we've had things and watched people panic. Remember Y2K? The stores were empty. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And what happened? Not a thing. Biggest non-event in the history of mankind. I got to be honest. I didn't do one thing. You know, we always have food. We've always had a big garden and meat, and so it's like, well, we got food, and don't need potatoes because I had all that stuff. And I didn't know we had to have 9,000 rolls of toilet paper, or maybe I would have made a run to the store. But, you know, we just didn't do that stuff. But my goodness, then we had the swine flu. There was the Zika virus. There was SARS and all that kind. All these things that we've all lived through, these things. God's brought us through them all before because he says, I will be with thee. That's his presence. And to have it, you're saved. Second thing is this, his relationship to us. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Look what he said. For I am thy God. I am thy God. Then he goes on. I'll read the rest of the verse so I don't have to keep reading it. He said, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So we have this relationship with him. If you desire a relationship with God, it's available. And sometimes when people say, Chris and I and the girls watched a Christian movie last night, and I cannot think of the name of it. But it was about a young girl in high school who her parents were killed in a car accident. Her dad was a pastor, I think. And they were killed in a car accident, and she had some awful things happen, both of them, after that. But, you know, through it all, I'm going to tell you something. God used her in an amazing way. He just did. And it was a good movie. I can't remember the name of it. There's a third thing there in verse 10. His strength. Did you notice that? I will strengthen thee. How strong is God? You can't answer that. Okay, that question doesn't need an answer. You can't answer that question. God can do anything that can be done. Don't get into this foolish thinking. Well, can God build a rock so big he can't lift it? Well, that can't be done. But God can do anything that can be done. And some people start asking these hypothetical questions. It's bizarre. But anyway, God can do whatever can be done. That's how strong he is. He can give you the power. I'm not sick, but I do have a drip, a phlegm. God can give you the power to break any addiction. He can give you the power to fix relationships. He can take care of all the things in your life. And you know something? That strength is at our disposal. The one who spoke the worlds into existence, he has a relationship with those of us that are his children, and he can fix the problem. And also in that same verse of scripture, he promises to uphold us and to sustain us. That is to support, to keep us from falling or slipping. God is our upholder, he's our supporter, he's our defender, he's our sustainer, he's the one who provides. So he says, I am with you, I will be your God, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, and I will sustain thee. Now that's a pretty good tower of truth. That's a lot of stuff that God promised you in one verse of scripture. So the solution to fear is simply trusting the promises of God. And really believe them. And that is the reason why you see so much fear out there. People just aren't trusting God. And the other thing is this, and this is what I thought, I texted Rev out. The world, we were talking mostly about America. The American people, they just don't know God. They just don't know God. Now, do I think you should act wisely and not be stupid and tempt the Lord? Yeah, I think you should act wisely and not be stupid. But you don't need to fear. So it's trusting the promises of God. Does God allow things into our life we cannot handle? No. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This young lady throughout the movie was praying, God, I don't understand. And everything went wrong for her. I mean, the poor girl. But then in the end, God used her a tremendous way, which I trust that that's what's going to happen through this virus, that you will not be fearful and that you will allow God to use you in a tremendous way for his glory and for his honor. And people will see a calmness in you and a peace in you, and it'll be there. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Do you believe that God is faithful? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So the question was, does God allow anything into our life that we can't handle? And the answer is no. In our own, we can't handle it, I'll give you that, but God will be with us. Now, here's another tower that will help with fear. And let's turn to this one. So add this to your list. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Some of these repeat themselves. This is a verse that's quoted a lot. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, there's three things there I want you to notice. First of all, God promises never to leave us. Now, there are times when Christians feel like, God, where are you? But God promises he'll never leave us. God promises he will never forsake us. He just doesn't leave us high and dry. God's not going to do that. And God also promises to help us. Have you ever gone through something and you almost don't know how to pray, but you found yourself on your knees crying out to God and saying, God, would you just help me? I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to pray right now. But Lord, just help me. God's there. He'll do that. Now, the question isn't really, will God? The question is, do you really believe these things? Would Jesus have to say to us once in a while, like he did the apostles, where's your faith? They had a faith problem. Is it true? Is it dependable? Is it reliable? Let me ask you, do you believe the word of God is true and the promises of God are true? Psalm 46. So here's another verse for your tower. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And Selah means what? Just meditate on this a while. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. The mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I mean, wow. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can go back and read all the earlier verses in that if you want to. God promises his presence. God also promises in verse 7 that he'll be... I turned a whole bunch. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our what? Our refuge. So when we have a need, what do? We run to him. So his presence is promised, and he's our refuge. Now that's a pretty good place, some verses for a tower of truth on the subject of fear. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, where we started. 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now here's the thing. People have the fear of others taking advantage of us, our weaknesses. That's overcome by depending on God's power. I'm weak, but God is strong. And with him, I can do all things. The fear of what others will think of us, like when they criticize us, is overcome by a genuine Christ-centered love and being filled with the Spirit of God. And when I say filled with the Spirit in this context, I'm saying you are all the fruits of the Spirit over there in Galatians 5, you exhibit them in your life. You're filled with the Spirit. The fear of what others think of us, the criticism that they give us, is overcome by a genuine Christ-centered love. Probably 12 or 15 years ago, maybe not that long, a guy came into my office for something, and he came in to criticize me, and I mean, he went up one side of me and down the other. And it must have been the Spirit of God, because it's not my nature in something like that, just to sit there calm, really wasn't bothered. I said, he brought another guy in with him to be a witness, I guess. And then he went up one side of me and down the other, called me names, called me some terrible things, accused me of some terrible things. He even called me a blasphemer. And I'm like, man, and that's pretty bad. And some of you may have been here and heard a sermon I preached or a song that I allowed sung in the church or something. Anyway, and I just sat there and I said, well, I'll think about that and I'll get back with you. And I that's what I did. But I will be honest with you. It was painful. Man, it was some awful criticism. It isn't the only time I've been criticized or lied about, by the way, either. But you just trust that the Spirit of God is going to guide you and lead you through those things. And here's what's happening in our world. You have to learn how to respond and not react. And you know what they're doing? They're reacting like a bunch of nutcases. The third fear I want to mention is the fear of the future. That's overcome by a sound mind that is centered on the promise of God. So, let's say the global economy is going into the toilets. And it is, okay? So, I don't know what your retirement plan is. Let's say, well, it used to be, and now it's gone. You know, you really don't worry about that. Because God's in control. We keep a sound mind that is centered on the promises of God. What does God say in Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, he didn't say he'll supply all your wants. But he does say, I'll supply all of your need. Now, everything about fear can go back to your relationship with God. There are times that we get disappointed. And there's things in life that happens. But let me give you this. I'm not sure. Yeah, I got time to get through this. What are we to replace fear with? So you've got this fear of whatever. I don't know what it is. So you got this fear. And what do you replace it with? Number one, you put your trust and confidence in the Lord's strength. That's where you put it. And in his book and in his promises. Now, I want you to go to the book of Proverbs, because I do want to read. I hopefully left myself enough time to read several promises here. These ones I think most of us can quote. Verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look at verses 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither be the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And then there's other verse also, I don't turn there, Proverbs 29, 25. This is pretty much the same thing. You put your trust and your confidence in the Lord's strength, in his book, in your King James Bible, and in his promises. Now, secondly, gain God's wisdom of a sound mind. I'm going to try to stick to the book of Proverbs. Go to chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Verse 33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's a good verse. Chapter 3, verse 21. You'll just have to turn a few pages back and forth. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. You gain God's wisdom and you have a sound mind. Now, some of you, and I asked the question earlier, do you know what the New World Order is? And most of you said, yeah, we know it. We're aware of that stuff. Well, then things like this ought not to shock you. Jesus is coming, and the world is going to get chaotic. You're going to see some of that. I don't know when the Antichrist is coming. I don't know when the peace treaty is going to be signed in the Middle East. I don't know any of that, when any of that's going to happen. But I believe it's going to happen. But I do believe there's some precursors to that that Jesus said, talked about, when you see these things, then look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Man, I feel like it's really nigh. I mean, I just feel like Jesus is ready to come and get us out of here. Praise the Lord. But he's not here today. I already read that verse. Let me see. Verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. We're not to fear. We put our trust and our confidence in God, and secondly, we gain God's wisdom. And listen, God wants you to live and make proper decisions. That's why you got to, that's what wisdom, you know what wisdom is? I'll give you a simple carpenter definition of wisdom. The next right step. What's the next right thing to do? What is the next right thing to do? That's what wisdom is. You gain God's wisdom. Thirdly, you seek the Lord. Jump all the way, go backwards to Psalm 27. Probably this is some people's life verse. My life verse has changed. I've settled on Philippians 3, 13, and 14. But this was my first life verse that I had. But let me read Psalm 27, verse 1 through 8, and then the last verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Now the last verse. Excuse me. This was my first life verse. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You gotta seek the Lord. Fourthly, develop genuine love. I mean, fall in love with Jesus. Build an intimate relationship with him, just like you would if you were going to get married to somebody. Build an intimate relationship with the Lord. Let me give you a fifth thing. I don't know how to word this, so if the wording seems, write your own in, okay? But visualize God's personal presence in your life. Somehow, you can't see God, but recognize the fact that God is present in your life. That's if you're a child of God. He is there with you. He's with you every step of the way, no matter what you go through. So you need to visualize God's presence, personal presence in your life. And then, I read the verses here, Psalm 27, 1 and 14. You need to develop patience in waiting for God's deliverance, one of everybody's weak points, learning to wait on God. Nobody likes to wait on God. When I pray about something, I would like it answered within 24 hours. That's what I'd like to see. And sometimes it is. And sometimes it isn't, which was going to be part of my message this morning, but I guess you'll get it next Sunday morning. Sometimes God does things immediately. And sometimes God doesn't do things immediately. So you got to develop patience in waiting on God's deliverance. And then seventhly, you need to focus your attention in prayer on God and his power, not on the thing feared. I don't want to sound not concerned, but I'm not worried. But I am concerned, okay, so I'm not worried. I can't tell you that I have prayed one time, God, remove this virus. In fact, I can probably safely say I've not prayed that one time. Now, maybe you have, a good for you. But it's never really dawned on me to do that. I've never prayed ever for anything, God, take this storm away. Because I do think God could use this to win many souls to Christ. I mean, people get feared enough, maybe. I actually had mixed feelings this morning about, will we have visitors in church today? Because people, what's God doing? Then I had more thoughts of, well, people aren't going to come to church because there's people here and they're not supposed to be around people, so what are they going to do? But you know what? I remember when the World Towers got bombed there in New York City. Remember that? Brother Smith told me they had 100 first-time visitors in church that Sunday morning at Buckley Road Baptist Church in Syracuse. Guess how many came back the second week? Zero. He couldn't believe it. I couldn't. That is kind of hard to believe. People kind of, but you would like to think with something like this, this is more than a one-day event. I mean, this is going to, I have no idea how long this will go on. You don't either. But people sometimes turn to the Lord. That has been my prayer. Now let me make a few statements and I'm going to be done. A person who is fearful must take his focus off himself, take his focus off his circumstance and his problem, and place his trust and confidence in God's strength. He must seek to focus his thoughts on God's wisdom, having a sound mind, rather than on the fear itself. He must learn to seek the Lord. That will take a person's attentions off of that fear and place it upon God's strength. Developing a genuine love for God and others will give one the support he needs to face the fearful situations of life. That movie, Mr. Wormbrand, what's his first name? The guy that wrote Tortured for Christ, and he was in, Richard, thank you. And you know, in the concentration camps, there was times when he was alone. Now, there were other times when he had two or three other Christians with him. But they just trusted God, and they developed a genuine love for God and others, and that'll give somebody, and it did those guys, the support that they need to face fearful situations in life. And if you see him in a movie or happen to see him someplace, not likely, but happen to, his feet were beaten so bad that he'll never walk right. I mean, they would tie him over backwards and they would take a pole and just smash his feet, the bottom of his feet. I've never heard of torture like that before till him. But you know, he still had a great love for those people. His faith never wavered. His love for God never wavered. Then develop here's an excellent way to begin the day is to visualize, that might not be the right word, but anyway, visualize God's personal presence with you throughout today. Somehow you got to just remember, put it in here, that God is with me all day long. I am never out of the presence of the Lord. He will never forsake me. He's my refuge all the time. You know, David did that when he faced Saul, feared Saul. When he feared Saul was going to take his life, David could sense the Lord's presence. As a person centers his focus on God and his power, the thing feared, it kind of just goes away. Fear in reality ensnares a person so that he will not be effective as long as his thoughts are controlled by fear. You won't be. You'll be consumed with this. The news is consumed with this. Even, well, the sports world has to be consumed with it because they have nothing else to be consumed with right now. So they're even consumed with this. Fear, if dealt with in a period of time, will cause, if not dealt with in a period of time, can cause a person to anticipate things that are never going to happen. Do you really believe the Bible? If Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, if he said, I am your strength, I am your refuge, I am your upholder, if he said all of those things, and he did and more, because I mentioned several verses, it kind of boils down to this. Do you really believe him? Is your faith strong enough to believe them. Now, I don't think you ought to be stupid. There's a family, and I hope people... Okay, this one here is nuts. Spring break is coming up. You know, where all the kids go to the beaches and they party. One of the families in Oneida the other day loaded up their car, got a week off early, headed to Myrtle Beach for spring break. Now, I think that's dumb. Okay, I mean, why put yourself on purpose? That's, okay, we're to use wisdom. I don't think that's wise. I just don't think that's wise. Of course, they're from our area, so if they come in contact with something, well, of course, they're going to bring it back here. So eventually it probably will get here. But be wise. Don't be stupid. But don't be fearful either. Now, you may have other fears in your life. You just have to trust God for those fears. You just do. Father in heaven, your word says that you do not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are some, I suppose, that will be here today, sometime or another, and they fear. They fear the coronavirus. They fear what might happen. And there is a lot of panic out there. It's obvious. Brother Stiles mentioned, I've never seen anything less like this in my life. Most of us have never seen anything like this in our life if we lived in America. So, Lord, I don't know what the fear is. It might be something else. And it most likely is in many people's lives. Give them victory over that fear. Deliver them from that fear. Increase their faith. Increase their trust. Increased our love. Teach us that we are to be patient as we wait upon the Lord. And help us to remember the precious promises of God that are recorded for us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep our heads bowed. Faith play. I'm going to give you a few minutes to pray to the Lord. Lord, may we live as the light of the gospel in a fearful world, in a world with a lot of uncertainty, and may we our light so shine, and I pray that we would let our light so shine before men, that they would glorify our Father when they see our good works. So, Lord, use us, even in times like this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll get ready for Sunday school. God bless you.